Welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood. With me this afternoon is my co-host, as always,
Chad Mitz.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week in the world of genre movie news. So, Chad, Brock Lesnar is still the reigning, defending, undisputed WWE champion, Universal Champion.
That doesn't mean a thing to me.
That doesn't?
No.
Because it's going to continue.
Yeah.
At least until SummerSlam.
There's not a lot that makes me upset that I think we're going to talk about this week, so you're entitled to do this one. This is not going to make me upset. I'm just like, okay. I just don't care.
Did you know, Chad, that Brock Lesnar has been back in WWE for the equivalent of 4 years? Do you know how long he has held the WWE Universal Championship over the course of those 4 years?
Well, I know he's got a good, full, solid year this last time. So probably about a year and a half?
24 months. Exactly half of the time that he has been in the WWE, he has been champion. Do you know how many times he has defended that championship out of the 48 months that he has been in WWE?
Probably about 12.
24. Exactly half the time he defends his Universal Championship.
Well, that's right, yeah. I mean, by that logic, that means he's defending it once a month, so people should not be upset. I know that's not how it works out, but that's what the math tells me.
Go with what the math tells you, Chad, because Brock's going to show up on television, and he's going to have a match, and it's going to get cashed in on him.
Look, I need Paul Heyman to listen to this right now and be like, you know people are complaining that Brock's had the championship and defended it forever. I want you to bring out the stats that Brian just said. Been back 4 years. He's held the title for 24 months. He's had 24 title defenses. That means he's defended it, on average, once a month. And that's what the contract says. Y'all can all kiss my ass. Shut up. I need Heyman to say this. I think this is gold, and I think he said a whole lot better than me, and it will piss off everybody.
Indeed. Because, you know, he hasn't defended it since the Saudi Arabia show.
What was that, in May?
April. It was literally 2 weeks after Mania.
That's the last time we beat Roman?
Mm-hmm. That steel cage match that was reminiscent of the Royal Rumble 2000.
Rock and Big Show. Yeah. And this is why you don't do stupid finishes like that, because they don't go right.
No. The videotape will always disprove you.
Yeah. And then you gotta lean into it and then still not acknowledge that the other person really won.
Indeed. So, Chad, movies. That's what we're here to talk about. Actual works of fiction. So we're going to sit around. We're going to talk some movies. Comic-Con 2018 is over. Jim was kind enough to come on to preview for us. I got drunk and I talked about the review of it. So what were your thoughts coming out of Comic-Con 2016?
So it felt... like, there was a lot that happened.
2018. What was that?
Did you say 17?
I said 16.
You did say 16.
I said 16.
And I rolled right along with it. That's, you know, this is where we're at.
We're all trying to go back to 2016. But it's okay.
Better times. I know there was stuff that came out of it, but it was noticeably, it just felt like there was not that normal heft and excitement with Comic-Con, and people going to rightly or wrongly attribute that to the absence of Marvel.
They were not absent, sir. They were not absent.
Well, the absence of a Marvel panel. That you know, the whole build going into it is like, I know for me, it's always that Saturday. I'm anticipating that Saturday. I remember in 2016 when they dropped the Wonder Woman Justice League trailers, I was sitting at a water park with my phone in the Ziploc bag, and in constant refresh, because I'm trying to see what's going on at Comic-Con. This year, I wouldn't have done that had the chance. Honestly, after Warner Brothers' presentation, that was it. I was kind of done with Comic-Con, you know, outside of little bits and pieces there about TV and stuff. But as far as the movies, that excitement was gone. I don't know if it was just me or if that excitement was gone for everyone until we got to the actual Warner Brothers presentation. Because even we had Sony, the day before, and Fox. Yeah, I'm waiting. I'll get to them in a minute. We had those. I know Sony for sure. I don't even know if Fox did anything besides Deadpool at the end on Saturday.
No.
Which was smart of them because, you know, they got issues. So it just didn't feel like normal Comic-Con except for that hour and a half of Warner Brothers. So with that said, Warner Brothers had to step up there and acknowledge that they were the crown jewel of Comic-Con. Try to announce to the world that we are new and different and still not screw the pooch. They had to do all those things. And I think, specifically with DC, I think they actually did that.
All three sets of footage are bright, colorful, and funny, and vibrant.
Yeah, it will be the antithesis of what you think of from DC before then.
Which we all knew there was going to be a pivot.
Yeah, and I think, particularly with the footage that we saw, most notably Shazam and Aquaman, but really Shazam. It's like, because Shazam went first and Shazam dropped first. It's like, here, this is whole different. This right here is like the mission statement right here. And I think that worked for DC. The Warner Brothers panel as a whole, I think was fine. I don't care about Fantastic Beasts, so I have nothing to say.
We'll get to that.
But yeah, there are specific things that happen with that are specifically that in proximity to Aquaman that when somebody pointed out, I'm like, that, why? Who thought this was a good idea? And we got Godzilla, and I know you were excited about it. And I think the presentation went off without a hitch. So overall, WB had a great panel. And it's the only panel note on Saturday, headlined by DC, who I think accomplished what they wanted to accomplish.
Your thoughts on the Aquaman trailer? Bright, colorful, fun, dude bro humor. You know, what are your thoughts? Because that, I mean, they dropped a version of the set visit last night at like 11 o'clock at night, which made no sense to me. And, I mean, we get all this fascinating information. But, I mean, all of it coincides with the footage. You know, Black Mantis looking exactly like Black Mantis. I mean, the underwater stuff looking really cool. I mean, Aquaman being a dude bro. I mean, you get the action-adventure feel that Gunn's going for.
Juan, sorry.
Had Gunn on mine, obviously.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
So, this one, of the two trailers, is my least favorite of the two, but that's not to say that it's bad. It's actually a very good trailer, considering you have this character that has traditionally been punchline, everybody thinks has always thought it was lame, until Jason Momoa came. Jason Momoa himself, in Justice League, he's in a bad movie. And his interpretation, there are people that, quite frankly, don't like Aqua Bro. So you put all that together, and then you're like, well, this is the movie you got. This is the guy you got. It's this guy with these characteristics. We don't know. It's up to you to like it or not. But here is the movie he's in. And, yeah, the movie is, again, tonally different. It feels tonally different from the Zack Snyder stuff so far. I want to be cautious about that because it is a trailer, and you can do different things with a trailer. But my main cause of optimism is that it is James Wan. And it seems like when he went in, he was like, there are things that I want to do with this movie, and that the only way I can do this movie is if you give me these things. And it seems like Warner Brothers, even when Zack was around, gave him those things, which is why we didn't see Atlantis in Justice League. We see it here first. So all that to say that this trailer, it's a really good trailer. It gets the vibe of what we're going for. It feels like an adventure movie. And we're going to go to the depths of the ocean, and the ocean is going to be a spectacular and weird place. And in seeing the ocean scenes that we saw, I understand why James Wan kept saying, they're not showing you a trailer, because I said we're not showing the trailer, because it's not to the point where I want it. And I can see why, because outside of the scenes where we clearly know they're standing on land, CG fest, all over the place. So you have to make sure that stuff looks good, and the juxtaposition between the really bright places in Atlantis and the really dark places of the ocean, and You got to do all that stuff, all while incorporating this Aquaman that people might have mixed feelings on. And something, even though I don't think he's going to be in a film as much, Black Manta has a physical presence when you see him. And because of the way he looks in the comic book, you have to bring that physical presence over and not make it look stupid. Which, he's got a big black fishbowl head with big red eyes. It's really easy to try to make that look stupid, but he didn't look stupid. So, all of that gives me hope. I think Aquaman is going to be good. My only question with the movie itself is, one, I don't like the release date. I don't like the release date at all. You need to go. You gotta move. That means you gotta move up. And two, this is unfair. Once again, we're at this point with these DC movies. This is unfair. Like, the future of everything else that's not Shazam, Wonder Woman hinges on this movie. Will people actually take to this movie, accept it, and show it the love it deserves at the box office? Or are people going to be like, I wash my hands of you, DC, after Justice League. This movie's going to be the one that tells the tale. And that's not fair, but that's where we're at. And this is all Warner Brothers' fault.
Love what I saw. Thought they leaned into the comic bookiness of it. Leaned into the special effects. Leaned into everything. I like... when he goes, like... When we get the footage description and it's like he needs, you know, some liquid to put on the key so that it works, and then she magically takes the sweat from his brow and applies it to the key, and the key works, and then he goes, well, I could have peed on it. I mean, like, I feel like I'm reading dialogue that was written by, like, a 17-year-old jock in high school, which is kind of the interpretation that Momoa did in Justice League.
Yeah.
So it works. The December release date's tricky. If you think that release date's tricky, look at what Star Wars is up against. They started filming today. Look at what Star Wars is around in 2019. There's not going to be a solid place to put this movie anywhere. And it's going to take them that long to get the special effects done. So I would say keep that release date, hope for the best, that you can get a long run that goes into January and you just extend your legs out. I love all the things that he said about it. Shazam is everything that we've been talking about for 2 years. It's big, neat Superman. And it had that vibe, it had that feel, and it had that childlike sense of humor to it. All of it worked. I'm disappointed there's no Black Adam in it. But I, you know, get the casting of the villain really works for me. The aesthetic of the whole film works for me, and if those rumors that we heard a while back are true about Diana Prince showing up at the end, that would be a nice little way to tie everything back together. And especially if you're still hell-bent on a Black Adam movie, although when The Rock's going to shoot that between his, you know, four other projects that he's going to oversaturate the market with, and also his match at WrestleMania 35 against The Undertaker, you know, it'll be remaining to be seen. I liked what I saw from Shazam. I really enjoyed it. And your thoughts?
Okay, before I go to Shazam, I just looked at the release schedule. On the day that Aquaman comes out,
December 16th, I think, 17th, something like that.
Comes out December 21st.
Okay.
So the day
4 days before Christmas.
Is the Little Battle Angel movie.
Which will die on arrival.
Yes. It's the Holmes and Watson comedy, which is, that's fine.
Counter-programming.
Welcome to Marin. I don't know what that is. It's a drama. That's fine. Bumblebee comes out on that day.
Oh, the Transformers Bumblebee movie. It got good praise coming out of Comic-Con.
Everything I've heard about this movie makes it sound really good, and I've been hopeful for it. So, coming out on the exact same day as Aquaman, I don't like that. How? There is a movie that comes out 2 days before that, on the Wednesday. That is Disney's big movie. That's the reason why Star Wars is not there. That is freaking Mary Poppins. They came come out.
They finally put out a trailer, by the way.
Did they put out another one?
They finally put out a trailer for Mary Poppins Returns. The one of her coming from the clouds like Jesus.
We got that one. We need another one, which I don't care if we get another one, but I mean, we're going to get another one. Probably going to get it Christopher Robin comes out this week, so it's probably this week.
That looks creepy as well.
I'm going to see Christopher Robin, of course.
Well, I'm going to go see it because I have a movie pass and I just want to keep eating that thing up as much as possible.
Before it craps out?
No, I have the AMC one.
Oh, yeah, you got the good one. Mm-hmm. That's why movie pass is dying on the vine. So, there's that. And then the week before that is Mortal Engines and the Spider-Man movie. So, by the time Aquaman comes out, he's got Mortal Engines, Spider-Man. Mary Poppins already be there. Then Bumblebee. That's four. Now, the first weekend in December... There's The Silence. I don't know what that is. It's a drama. It's a thriller. Move it up 2 weeks. Just move it up to the 7th and call it a day. I would say... What comes out on the...
In November, you have Ralph Wrecks the Internet as well.
Yeah, but... But that comes out on the... So that comes out on the 21st. They could either move it to November 30th, which is 2 weeks after Wreck-It Ralph, pretty much, about a week and a half. Or the 7th, which is truly 2.5 weeks after Wreck-It Ralph. That would be my suggestion to them.
Your movie in a position to succeed.
Yes, it's keeping it against Bumblebee, which, granted, the last Transformers didn't do good. Justice League didn't do good. Now it's going to be which one of you is going to finish second to Mary Poppins? Because neither one of y'all beat Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins has put out one trailer. We haven't seen a Mary Poppins movie in 60 years. Mary Poppins about to whip both of them. So, save yourself the embarrassment. Move up.
Now, it is a Mary Poppins movie without Julie Andrews. But it does have Dick Van Dyke.
It does.
And does have Lin-Manuel.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he is... the hot name right now. I suspect you'll see him all over the marketing for that.
And Emily Blunt does look in character.
Yes.
And there's also the Meryl Streep of it all.
Oh yeah, I forgot she's in that. So yeah, again, Aquaman can be good. He can have long legs and run his way out of there. But if it gets run out of the building on the first weekend by Mary Poppins.
If it gets buried.
Then you, Warner Brothers, you're the coach. You've proven to be an incompetent coach. At best, but right now you need to make the prudent move, and I can't even say punt because punt would be pushing it back. But you need to, I don't know what to say.
You need to go forward on fourth down with a solid play that is gonna.
It's like fourth and inches. This is like gimme. This is a gimme play.
Chad, you mean like fourth and goal on the goal line of a bowl game? Of a bowl game that means absolutely nothing?
We're not reliving that right now. We're not reliving that right now. But yes, you go for it on fourth down, fourth inches, just scoop right over. Not going to win the game then, but you just keep drive going. Instead of freaking drive killers. That's what it would be if it stays on that. I fully expect them to move. Since we didn't get an announcement at Comic-Con, I don't expect we'll get an announcement that it's moving until September. The earliest. Yeah. All that to get to Shazam. This was my favorite trailer. Yes, Big Meets Superman is the best description of it. Shazam, and when you boil it all down to it, I mean, most people that got into comic books, specifically superhero comic books, got into them when they were younger, and Shazam is the ultimate wish fulfillment of a little kid. I'm a little kid, and then bam! Magically, all my problems are solved because I'm freaking Superman. That's what this movie is. And that's what the trailer perfectly encapsulated. And you have the friend that's tagging along, so you still get the idea of... that's the whole thing. That's how Big worked in the first place.
Yes.
Because he had his friend with him. Mm-hmm. So, I know people have issues...
The big remake we always wanted.
I never wanted a big remake. They should not make a big remake because, well, I love that movie. There are issues with it now.
Just a bit. Just a few.
Just...
The sexualization of a very young child.
Yeah. Which is not portrayed wrong in the movie unless you think about it. The person involved has no wrongdoing, but you as an audience member know what's going on, and that's... It's not cool. It's not cool. But I know I've heard people complain about the costume and that it's still Zachary Levi still looks puffy in the costume. Granted, he's not, he didn't get into like Henry Cavill shape, but he did get into shape. I blame this part more on WB because they have this track record of making their superheroes more puffy than they need to be. See Superman in Justice League, particularly see Batman in the arms that don't, that can't go down in Justice League. So I chalk it up to that, and hopefully that's something they'll fix going forward if we get more movies. But I think this trailer was specifically what DC needs to be like. It's a clean slate. This is what we're trying to go from here on out.
Indeed. So, Chad, let's talk about that Wonder Woman footage that hit. They've been filming for 3.5 weeks. Put out another slightly revealed today, actually, of Pedro Pascal's character.
I meant to look at that, but I didn't see it.
So, what were your thoughts on, Wonder Woman going to the mall?
I mean, it was just, again, they've only been shooting for 3 weeks. It was just something to get the crowd excited. From everything I heard, it just sounds like it's bright and very 80s, and she's very colorful. And again, another, this is the way we're going, and we're going this way with the character you already like, and the director you already like, and everything. So, here, this is that, plus the color you want. So, I mean, it was just like a, again, it was like another point to hammer home this mission statement from DC. I really thought this was Comic-Con, that they might show them a peek of what Cheetah looks like, but we did not get that. And that's kind of all I don't need to know anything else. I just want to see what Kristen Wiig looks like as Cheetah.
Something that you pointed out on our Return Home podcast from seeing Wonder Woman, that they would most likely go this direction with the sequel. So,
yeah, typically with these, if they don't go with the well-known equal villain in the first one, you get them right after. So I figured Cheetah would be the way. I never thought it'd be Kristen Wiig. That's why I really need to see her, because...
Have you seen Skeleton Twins?
I have not.
You're taking that home with you. It's homework tonight. Because that shows the dramatic chops that Kristen Wiig has.
Oh, I don't have any issues with her acting ability at all. I just need to see it.
Yes.
Like, I just need to see her physically as Cheetah.
Kind of like M'Baku. And the physical manifestation of how you pulled that character off in the 21st century. And not, like, come off as campier.
Well, I mean, Cheetah does lend herself, like, she could go campy, but, I mean, she's had a bunch of different iterations. It's not even that. I know Kristen Wiig is a good actress. I've seen her in stuff that I've liked that's not comedic. My mind cannot connect any image I have of Cheetah with Kristen Wiig as Cheetah. So I need to put those things together. Because I don't know if I'm going to like it. I know I'm going to live with it. My brain needs to like see it, to process it, to like these two ends that won't touch. I need the picture to make them touch. That's really it. I have no other qualms about anything else. I just need to see that.
And we will get a picture, an EW spread or something at some point soon. So.
Yeah, I...
Before the end of the year is out, when they do their 2019 preview issues and things like that.
Maybe they'll wait till. That'll be roughly a year out. So yeah.
So Chad, let's talk about the other element of that. The two other elements of that Warner Brothers panel at Comic Con. One would be Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and our good friend Johnny Depp pulling a Loki.
Yeah.
A Tom Hiddleston Loki, and coming out in full costume and addressing the Comic-Con crowd, which would have been awesome, except for the fact that A, they've made the character of Grindelwald look like he has 7 different kinds of magical STDs and does not make him look attractive in any kind of way, which is very disappointing for those of us who, in the books, envisioned this Gaston-looking figure who, you know, would have been handsome and charm, everything that Tom Riddle was in the Harry Potter series, that he would have been handsome and charismatic, and instead he's just like a dude that looks like very much like he's dying of an STD. But they brought Depp to Comic-Con in the same room with Amber Heard, who has made the accusations of Depp being kind of off. And if you read that Rolling Stone piece, there's a lot more going wrong with Johnny Depp's life than just the Amber Heard issues.
Man, who, I don't know if we talked about this, but whoever said, told him this was a good idea, they need to be fired. But the problem is, whoever said that is never going to get fired. Yeah, that was that piece. Woof, woof, man.
How does one allow their life to get to that point?
Man, I was just like, I can't believe I'm amazed by this, but I was amazed by. Dang, Johnny, it's look. If y'all have not read the Rolling Stones piece on Johnny Depp from like a month ago, particularly if you had any kind of strong feelings about him one way or another, just go ahead and read it. Just see, because it's not so much. You can probably say the reporter's putting a slant on it, but everything I think about Johnny Depp were like quoted words put in there, not anything. Not any of the information around it from the report. When you add that to it, it's just like, man, I'm surprised you got out there alive. That's like Dark Shadows kind of thing. That looks like, that's like, makes you think of that's what he really lives like at this point. It ain't good.
It isn't good. Although Dark Shadows is an underrated movie. But anyway, yet another film I paid money to see. Yes, I have a problem. I'm the Harry Potter guy. This is them expanding this out. Couple things to take from the trailer. Number one, we get the answer to what he sees in the Mirror of Erised, which has always been a bone of contention among fans. Did he see Grindelwald? Did he see Ariana? You know, in Aberforth and his family whole again? You know, what did he see when he looked in the Mirror of Erised? This has been a question from Sorcerer's Stone when it's first brought up, all the way to Deathly Hallows, where you get the background information of Albus Dumbledore, where you really flesh out the tragedy of his story. So they get us that answer in the trailer, which is really weird.
What was it? I didn't see that part.
Grindelwald.
Okay.
Now, it could be CGI messing, but yeah. So we get that answer, or at least we think we get that answer. The next thing is Nicholas Flamel. This is a name that Harry Potter fans remember as the creator of the Elixir of Life, which is contained within the Sorcerer or Philosopher's Stone. He is the creator of it. He is on the poster. He is in the tag at the end of the trailer. That means he's going to be a big part of this movie. And I think that that's brilliant in the context of a lot of the issues people had with Fantastic Beasts. Was who am I and what am I doing here? When Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came on and it debuted, I was, outside of just knowing the Perlmutter 5E situation, I was very much like, who am I and what am I doing here? You're never going to connect to this thing over here. If for no other reason than just your production schedules are vastly different. Yeah. You're never going to connect. You can answer stuff that they're doing, they can't include you. So why am I going to invest an hour of my time every week to watch something that's never going to pay off on the big screen? And a lot of that was people liked Newt. They liked, you know Joseph. They liked the characters, but it was kind of a where are we going with this situation? And they don't put Grindelwald on the poster or in the credits for Fantastic Beasts. They keep that reveal for the film where you find out that Colin Farrell is, in fact, Johnny Depp. And he's, in fact, Grindelwald, which is, you know, the Dark Lord who rose to power and caused the first great wizarding war, in whom Dumbledore defeated. And then, of course, not only after Dumbledore defeated him, they locked him away in the tower, where eventually Tom Riddle comes and finds him and kills him and takes possession of what he thinks is the Elder Wand. To get a Nicholas Flamel connection, to see the establishment shots of Hogwarts in the first trailer and the second trailer, to see kids in Hogwarts robes again, taking classes, all of it just screams, hey, we heard you. This is in the Harry Potter world. You're getting young Dumbledore, young Grindelwald, you know, we're leading you over a course of 5 movies to the beginning, basically, of where the world is when Tom Riddle takes over, which is another question you can have entirely as to whether or not you're going to eventually get another young Tom Riddle, but you could potentially even see the Chamber of Secrets opening if you wanted to go that far. Like, it's pulling you back in and making you care. And there were hints of it in Fantastic Beasts because, like, you know, his lover that he sees the picture of and turns down, he mentions that her name, her last name is Lestrange, which, of course, ties back to Bellatrix and turns back into the Black family and the history of dark musicians. And that line that she has in the trailer of, you never met a monster that you couldn't love. So, they're hinting at bringing and incorporating the larger universe as we go. Didn't do it in the first film, doing it this time. I couldn't wait, couldn't be more excited for it. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to hide depth, you know, going forward in the marketing, I don't know. But we'll see.
My thing with Fantastic Beasts is I'm looking at it as strictly a Warner Brothers thing. And so at a point, Warner Brothers had Harry Potter thriving, moving along. They got off of the Lord of the Rings. They had Harry Potter going on. And then The Dark Knight and Batman Begins and all that happens. And they're rolling high with all these franchises. And then, you know, Lord of the Rings ends, they give it a break, Harry Potter's still going. When Harry Potter starts winding down, also it's around the time The Dark Knight starts winding down. They're like, okay.
And that's about the same time The Hobbit was starting up.
Exactly. They're like, we're running the franchises, but The Hobbit. We've got Lord of the Rings. Let's dust off The Hobbit. Let's put this out there. Let's continue this franchise. And from everything I understand, I still haven't seen the last one, but people kind of don't like the Hobbit movies, and
they're the prequels for Lord of the Rings fans. Look, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny book, and the backstory there is complicated by the MGM bankruptcy and by the fact that they had Del Toro lined up to do it, and then he backs away after the bankruptcy's finally cleared up. And then Warner Brothers is stuck with the film they want to produce with no director. And so they basically go to Peter and, like, our sets are built. Your creative's already, can you three sit in a room again and come up and craft a story so that we can make these next three films? And then they come to him at the end. Then he gets so hemmed in terms of storytelling because a lot of the framework was already set that he literally has to stop production in the middle of the third movie because it's like the second movie because it's like, how am I gonna do this? And the answer ended up being that you split the second movie into two and then you end up with three movies instead of two, and it just, they're not as good, they're more heavily reliant on CGI, they rely heavily on a bunch of stuff from Tolkien's appendices, not just The Hobbit itself. And it was a 90-minute animated movie. Like, it's not supposed to be a 9-hour epic. It's supposed to be one movie. And two, if you want to stretch it. And he, you know, was hemmed in, and he takes a lot of the heat for something he never really intended on doing. And I feel bad for Peter Jackson in that way. But yes, those movies were diminishing returns one after the other. You know, An Unexpected Journey, and then the second one, and then Battle of the Five Armies. Each one makes less money than the next.
And I think a large part of why all of this happened in the first place is Warner Brothers is like, we still need to make all this money, which is why DC became so critical to them at that point, because we have these characters that can be like Marvel. They've got this universe thriving. We need that because we've run out of Harry Potter. The Hobbit is just starting. We don't know exactly what we got with that.
And Lego hasn't started yet.
Lego hasn't started yet. So we need something. And then they just honestly, not as I'm walking through this, I blame The Hobbit for all of the DCEU, because if The Hobbit wouldn't have had, like, if they wouldn't have gone with The Hobbit, They could have kept Man of Steel where it was, which was supposed to come out in December of 2012. If it comes out in December of 2012, Zach doesn't have all the time in the world to be like, Batman! And then they could have proceeded to make a Man of Steel 2, and then at that point been like, okay, let's expand the universe. And it could have gone a completely different way. So, all that to say is that my fear with Fantastic Beasts is, I think they're better. It's a better movie than The Hobbit, and I haven't even seen it. I don't want it to become like The Hobbit, where it's just like, clearly we're just putting this franchise out to get these fans that we already have to make this money, but the product in turn keeps going down. And now this franchise has the added benefit of having the albatross that is Johnny Depp in his singing career strapped around his neck. And they doubled and tripled down on that shit already. So they're kind of stuck with him, at least for the foreseeable future. So I have hope that Fantastic Beasts won't be that. I don't think it'll ever get to the heights of Harry Potter, but
I think it can. And you know what the magic healing power of that is? Joe Rowling.
Well,
it's her vision, and she sprinkles her magic fairy dust, and she is weaving this tale together the way that she weaved the books together, which was, she's not a strong writer when she starts, but as the books go, the books get thicker, and they get more well-written, and the twists are more layered, and the character development's better. And so as you go, over the course of 5 films, you're going to get a better product. And there's still enough diehard Harry Potter fans to keep going. And if you can make me care, make outsiders care about Eddie Redmayne, then you're going to be able to be successful. And by their own standards, the only thing that's going to matter is one film after the next, making more money than the last one did. And I think that that's completely achievable with that. I don't think you can carry the studio on a Fantastic Beast.
No.
But I do think you can have it be a part of your platform, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay, so I agree with that. If they can make it to 5 movies, they're good. And J.K. Rowling
defended.
She defended Depp, which is part of the. She was the double down, and then Warner Brothers, they did something, and it was like the triple down. But having her is a good thing, because fans know that it's coming from her, and they will give that a longer leash than something like The Hobbit, that is just like, why are y'all stretching this little book into these 3 movies? But the thing that I'm worried about so much with this one is, again, where summer is normally jam-packed, and this summer was, November and December is like a murderer's row. And it doesn't sit terribly, like it's dead center in the middle of November. So the first movie coming out that's in the same demographic is going to be The Nutcracker, which I don't think is going to do that well.
I'm hoping it does better than expected for Joe's sake. The first ever co-directorship. I mean, for the DGA to get involved that heavily, I mean, there had to be massive reshoots.
Yeah, I hope so, but I just...
It's a beautiful film. I've seen the trailer multiple times. You know, we also get this month, we get our Boy and His Dog movie. Final.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. It's in August.
Oh, this month. Huh? I don't care. All that means is, after August, I never have to see a trailer for that thing again. Ever. I've been seeing it. It seems like 2 years.
It has been. Yes.
Because every time you just look at me, you're like, there's trailer. I'm like, I know. I don't want to see this anymore. So the first week is Nutcracker and Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody has nothing to do with it.
Like another DGA effort, because Bryan Singer got full credit on that one.
Oh, yeah. Then there's The Grinch, which...
I haven't seen a lot of marketing for, and that's odd with being animated and being Cumberbatch and being a holiday thing. But maybe as we get into, like, the fall, it'll actually start promoting that. Yeah,
I want this to do good, because I just like the spirit of... I've liked the Dr. Seuss cartoon movies. I don't like the fact that they got Benedict Cumberbatch, and they took away what makes him Benedict Cumberbatch, which is his voice. He's doing some other stupid voice instead of his natural, just...
dulcet tone.
Yeah, like, put the Sherlock voice on the Grinch, and I think that's great, because Sherlock is a prick. And that's what the Grinch is. So I think it can weather that, And then it comes out the week after that. Now the following week is when Wreck-It Ralph comes out. So it's going to lose to that.
But I think Wreck-It Ralph is going to skew younger than Fantastic Beasts is.
It will. It just won't win that weekend.
Fantastic Beasts is going to eventually start getting to a point where it's fairly close to a PG-13 as they keep going on.
Which would work. It's just going to be a matter of legs. Like, it'll win the weekend it comes out. But it's not going to win any weekend after that. And as we talked about, there's a whole bunch of movies that come in after that. So it could be out of the top five by the time a month rolls around. So how much money can it make between?
That's why that first weekend's gonna be critical.
Yeah, because Ralph has the added benefit of being the week of Thanksgiving, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, if this one can make decent enough money, I don't know what the last one made, but if it makes it comparable to that, then they're probably fine. They can be locked into the five movies. If it wavers, I don't know what Warner Brothers is doing, like, at the head over there anymore. So I don't know what their feeling is going to be like if Fantastic Beasts wavers. It's like, okay, we might give you three, or like, let's cut our losses. No, I don't know.
They'll give Rellon the benefit of the doubt.
Probably, because it's their only stable franchise right now.
Yeah. So Chad, we're going to get Toho Monsters. Lots and lots and lots of Toho Monsters. The apocalypse has come.
See, this is where my ignorance of Toho stuff comes in. Because, I mean, I know the one with the wings is Mothra. Mm-hmm. I don't know nothing else.
King Ghidorah with the three heads.
See, I've heard that since then. Mm-hmm. But I'm never going to remember that until I see the movie. And there's another one in there, isn't there?
Rodan, Mothra, and King Ghidorah.
I know the name, and outside of Mothra, because, duh.
A giant moth with the power to create enough wind force that it reenacts an atom bomb.
Ah, I didn't know that. That's going to be kind of awful for somebody.
For all the people living below.
Yeah.
And, you know, King Ghidorah is basically encased inside of a giant hurricane as he goes around.
Oh, no, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rodan is just cute as a button, but also very deadly. So we are going to get Toho Monsters, and we're going to get Godzilla. Godzilla working with airplanes that are flying in behind him, and not like, you know, planes that are trying to bomb Madison Square Garden.
Like, I had a brief glimpse of Godzilla while you were saying it, but I was like, I'm going to kick that out, and then you just brought it right back.
I am so happy. We're going to get Toho Monsters. They're going to fight. There's going to be hell. All hell's going to break loose. And it's just going to be awesome. My only question is, when you introduce these three, and you're basically, through the viral site, you've confirmed over the years Monarch has gone, like what they did with Kong, going around searching and finding these prehistoric beasts as you go. The problem for me would be, A, if you feel like you can control King Ghidorah with your telepathic signal digital thingy, why wouldn't King Ghidorah have been a better answer as for how to bring nature back into balance against the Muchos? Because the Muchos were basically just giant spiders. He's a three-headed dragon that breathes atomic fire and brings a rainstorm and lightning and all kinds of ungodly things upon the places he visits. Why wouldn't you have, you know, defrosted somebody who is known as a walking apocalypse to help you defeat the Muchos?
So, they had no control over Godzilla showing up. So, let's say they go with your theory. That still doesn't stop Godzilla from showing up. So now you got four of these big suckers running around. You maybe are controlling one. But there's three other ones. And if you're controlling the fourth one, because we know, you know, humans are stupid, they're going to shoot at Godzilla. So he's going to shoot back. So that just throws up the whole ruckus off.
So the story that's been put together is that the world's overreacted to Godzilla. They've taken extra precautions and been extra careful. Monarch has come out of the hiding because, you know, now they're a fully fledged government entity the way that they were trying to be in the 1970s in Kong Skull Island. And the trailer basically sets up a race to find the Titans. That's great. I don't want to know why you're racing to find them, because Godzilla's whole thing is bringing nature back into balance. Unless you know where all three of these entities are, if you're not the one releasing them, how are they being released? And if they are being released and you have this kind of telepathic technology that you want to release, then why does Godzilla need to come in and
clean up the mess?
Right. And also, like, what precipitates them coming out of hibernation? And what precipitates them coming out? And then once they come out, nothing's going to be the same, because they are literally, like I said, Mothra literally is a flying A-bomb. Like, anything that is directly below her will be destroyed and gone. And then you're not even counting on whatever city they descend on, where you're going to have Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah, and Godzilla all in the same space at the same time fighting.
Yep, that city's gone.
Right. And then you add on top of that, we don't know what's happening with Kong. When we leave Kong Skull Island, Kong's still on the island.
Mm-hmm.
This was not like Peter Jackson's deal where they're like, did the whole thing where they brought him back to New York and did let him escape. They literally left him on Skull Island with two Monarch scientists who went back, who survived the trip, and Brie Larson's character and Tom Hiddleston's character sitting in a room getting debriefed about what Monarch is and about the other monsters. So, like, what are they going to do with Kong? Is he still? Has he just been sitting on Skull Island since 1972? I mean, because they said he was young Kong, so they said he was still growing.
Yeah, you gotta get big.
Right, but is he just sitting on, like, if you're Monarch and you have this information that Kong is just sitting there, like, why don't you go get him? And also, like, what's going to be the impetus for Godzilla and Kong fighting when Godzilla's been portrayed as a force of nature to bring things into balance, and Kong's just been portrayed as a teenager hanging out on his island trying to protect it? Like, how do you get Kong off the island?
I don't know. I don't think we find out in this movie. I do think we see Kong in this movie. I think it ain't gonna be long. It'll be like the last thing you see, so everybody can get all excited.
Because it's the next year.
Yeah.
And they're bringing characters from Godzilla 2 into that film.
Oh, so Godzilla ain't gonna murder all of them?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so let's move on and talk about some other things, Chad, about Comic-Con. So, Chad, Avi Arad got to debut his footage of Venom eating people's heads. Your thought?
I don't care. And you know what? They don't care either. Because we're sitting here about a week and a half after Comic-Con. You know what happens tomorrow? Today is Monday, July 30th. You know what happens tomorrow, Tuesday, July 31st? We get a Venom trailer. We were just at Comic-Con. We didn't get a trailer. We're getting the trailer right now.
They showed the people in the room the trailer, which had Venom biting somebody's face off.
I didn't know that. I didn't need to know that. Mildly makes me upset, but you know what? I don't care.
You're gonna get to see it here.
I'm gonna watch the trailer tomorrow and be like, just like, everything that came out of Comic-Con for in regards to Venom has done nothing to make me feel any better about this movie. I still think it's a stupid idea. Like, that the essence of the character is one very specific thing. This character is two entities. Those two entities hate Peter Parker. There ain't no Peter Parker in this movie. You're taking away the very core of what this character is, and what you're giving me is the cool vestige of this character. Not all the way cool, because since there's no Peter Parker, he gets no big white spider. And I like the white spider. So, there's nothing about this movie, nothing they said at Comic-Con that made me feel better. Actually, there was a bunch of stuff that he said that pissed me off.
Such like, as?
Such as that they leave the door open for further sequels.
I'd love to come in and fight Mr. Holland at some point.
That stupid line about, no, you're never going to fight Tom Holland. No, it's never going to happen. The implication that, I mean, we know he's going to fight other symbiotes and what the symbiotes are and who they're going to take over. I don't care. I don't care about none of that. I just want this movie to come out and go away. That's it.
We can build a whole Venom universe out of this movie.
With what? Let me tell y'all. 1993. The first Amazing Spider-Man comic I ever truly picked up. You know who was on the cover? Front and center? It's Venom. Venom is the first bad guy I got to see Spider-Man fight. It's like the first actual run of Spider-Man that I ever had, because there's only two issues, so I got the issue right after that. It's like, when Venom became the Lethal Protector, it was that. So I've seen Venom blossom into the Lethal Protector. And you know what the Venom universe is? The Venom universe is Carnage and that line of bastard symbiotes he had. And once he was done with Carnage, he went back to Spider-Man, and then they teamed up, and they fought Carnage, and then they teamed up, and they fought the other bastard symbiotes, and that was it. Anytime Venom expanded outside of that, you know who else was on the cover? Spider-Man. There is no Venom universe. There's a Spider-Man universe. That's it.
Avi doesn't seem to think so.
Avi's a dumbass.
But he made lots of toys, Jeff.
And I enjoyed them. They were Toy Biz toys. They were the best things I had at the time. Actually, my favorite Venom I had was from Toy Biz. I loved it. You could take off the little rubber Venom mask, and there was Eddie Brock's face. They had a Carnage like that, too. I loved all those toys. Thank you for that, Ivory. Now, go sit down in the corner, because you don't need to be doing this.
So, Chad, are we going to be able to understand Tom Holland? Because he recorded his Venom lines, and then he had them fed back to him as he was doing his Venom voice and his Eddie Brock voice.
Oh, wait, is that what they did with Tom?
Because you know, Bane's very hard to hear.
I know. Why did he keep getting this dude to do these comic book movies, and then they go ahead and screw with his voice? I understand he's got to have an accent. Fine. But why do you got to keep screwing his voice? I understand there's going to be some modulation for Venom, because granted, he's talking, but he's talking with an alien that has big fangs over his face. Yes, there's going to be some modulation. I even anticipate having sort of that echo thing where you hear Tom Hardy's real voice and then whatever modulation they do to the other voice and they put those together. That's kind of what I expected. No, but what you're saying, I don't like the cut of that jib. I don't like none of that. So, just added to the whole, this is stupid, and it shouldn't be happening. They've got this wonderful cast that they're just going to dump a bucket of ice water on and kick them down the road, because that's all this is going to be good for.
So the primary symbiote that they're dealing with is a guy named Rampage.
Is it Rampage? I thought it was Toxin.
No, Rampage, who jumps from host to host. Who jumps from host to host. And they strongly implied that Carnage would be in the movie.
Yeah, but from... I didn't hear exactly that it was Rampage, but I did know there was another symbiote that he was fighting, which, again, led to me to believe, and this is where that opening the Venom universe up to, that Carnage is the next guy. Again, why? And they've already kind of implied that Woody Harrelson is going to be Cletus Cassidy in this movie. He's going to be Carnage. Again, casting I wouldn't have done, I always thought of Carnage as younger and more lean, like, you know, like just like the skinny guy.
Like Topher Grace.
No. No, sir. Don't mention that name anywhere around Venom or Spider-Man. This is a Topher-free zone. We're not going there. But again, once I heard that, I'm like, that's not bad casting, except it's in this terrible ass movie. So we're gonna get Venom fighting stupid symbiotes. At the end, Cletus Cassidy's gonna find the red symbiote. We're gonna get a brief glimpse of the Carnage. Everybody's gonna go woo, and then they're gonna be like, man, but that movie sucked. And that's it. It's over. It's gonna be done.
Well, since we're on the theme of being surrounded by things on opening weekends, What is around our good friend Venom? What opens around it?
Let's see.
Because even if it sucks, I mean, it would take comic book fans deciding they wanted to pull a Solo, a Star Wars story, and just not go see something repeatedly. I mean, if the movie's even mildly entertaining, it might be able to draw enough of an audience to generate revenue.
So it comes out the same day as Star is Born.
Which is a completely different audience.
Yep. So really, the audience that they're going for is actually in a good month because October's crap.
Mm-hmm. You got the Halloween movie, and that's about it.
Yep, and the Halloween movie's 2 weeks away. So this movie should open up at number one. This movie should stay number one for 2 weeks. This movie should be in the top two until
November.
Until November, in which case, depending on Nutcracker does, once November rolls around, it should be no worse than third. And then you get to Fantastic Beasts, where it should still be in the top five. If that happens, we'll probably get a Venom sequel. Notice, I am not quivering or anything about this. There is no reason this movie should not be in the top five from the moment it drops until Fantastic Beasts comes out, which is 6 weeks. There's no reason it should be in the top five in 6 weeks. However, I'm giving it two. Two. It'll be number one, number five, out of my life.
One can only hope.
Better. If you lose to go out and see it, yeah, I'm calling you a loser if you go out and see this more than once. Because I'm going to see it.
So, Chad, what did you make of the glass stuff that you saw? Excited? Interested?
I'm more excited than I thought I would be. Honestly, outside of the WB stuff, this is probably the stuff that excited me the most. I missed it earlier because I just completely forgot. But, the trailer, I mean, it just kind of introduces you to everybody, reintroduces you to David Dunn and Glass, and we meet James McAvoy's character again and see the Beast and all this stuff. And I didn't realize I would be as excited for a not superhero movie that came out almost 20 years ago for a sequel like this. But here we are. Second best thing in Comic-Con. I'm really looking forward to it. Allegedly, it's still going to be an M. Night Shyamalan movie where lots of tension and stress throughout the whole thing. It's going to be something. I don't know. It's going to be something to see. I think most people should like this, even if they don't like comic book movies.
I would tend to agree, and it does excite me, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the box office results are going to be in January.
Yeah, that's right. It comes out in January, so it should be fine.
Right. And there's been anticipation for it, and a lot of very well-received things from Split a couple of years ago.
So, did you hear how Samuel Jackson found out about this? Okay, so M. Night made Split. Sam hadn't seen Split, didn't know nothing about it. M. Night said, "You should go ahead and watch Split." So Sam goes and watches Split, and then he sees Bruce Willis at the end, and he just flips out. He's like, "Oh shit!" Like, and they're like, "Yep, we're doing this." So that's how Sam found out. He had to watch Split to find out.
Blum's giving him money, but not over the top money. So that's good. Moderate. Shyamalan works best when you modulate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So Chad, James Gunn, on the Saturday morning Comic Con, news drops that Disney, not Marvel, has fired James Gunn, severed their business relationship with him over old tweets that some members of the right wing dug up and cited as probable cause for him to be fired. Since then, in the last 10 days, it has been nothing but supportive statements. A huge outcry from people arguing about the precedent that this sets and the potential firestorm of mob mentality firings that it could provoke. And it still leaves Marvel without their lead gun, so to speak, on the cosmic side of the cinematic universe. Today, we advanced the story a little bit with the cast putting out a letter that supported Gunn, denounced his statements, but supported Gunn. Chris Pratt put as part of that Instagram post that he supported the reinstatement of James Gunn, but the entire cast in the letter that they signed never called for him to be reinstated by Disney. So your thoughts on the letter, on where we are, because I don't see how you can have a cosmic universe going forward, because there's no one to take the ability. There's no one you can think of off the top of your head that could do a Guardians 3 right now and have it work.
So, my first thing, when I saw the letter first, it came from Palm. I can't ever say her last name, so I'm not. Mantis. Palm plays Mantis. I think, I could be mistaken, but I think it hurt, like, in her tweet, she said, more or less to the effect, she wants James back. And then it was the whole letter that everybody had. So I want to say that first, because that was the first person. That's how I saw it first. And I think that's when I messaged you right after I saw it. So, first I'm going to say, I in no way condone what James done said. It was freaking horrible, offensive, inappropriate, all of that stuff.
That he has addressed many times over the years.
Yes. Now, with that said, the way I approach this, and this is after several days and looking at several things, before the first Guardians came out, there was an article in the Hollywood Reporter, I read it with my own eyes, that talked about these tweets and a blog that James Gunn ran that's full of the same kind of stuff.
2014.
This was actually 2012. So it was like right after he got hired. They hadn't even started anything yet. And he addressed them then. He said pretty much what he's been saying now. I was trying to be provocative. They're inappropriate. I understand they're inappropriate. I apologize for my offensive behavior. I've moved past that now. And he got rid of all those things. It was publicized. Disney had already hired him. Nothing happened. So you fast forward, and I don't want to get into the politics of it, but James Gunn is, if you follow James Gunn on social media, when he was there, he's very vocal in politics. He's a very liberal-leaning guy, and he went after conservatives.
Ego didn't do it.
Yeah, he went after them I don't even know if he went after them, but he was always posting what he thought about
the president.
Yeah, and not just limited to the president, but everything. But he dug off Trump a lot. So this right-wing blog comes out, and they find the tweets because it's the internet. You can't get rid of anything. And that's where this storm comes up again. Now, and if it were any other case, and the same kind of thing happened, and we had this distance, and we had this track record of, you know, kind of they've come to grips with what they did and trying to move past it, I would still be in favor of, like, Disney saying something, but the guy or the lady keeps their job and we just move forward. Because really and truly, when this happened, it happened on Friday, before everything really happened at Comic-Con, if they wait 3 days, boom, this is gone. You can probably hear ripples here and there, but it's out of the news cycle.
Which I believe personally was Marvel's approach.
I think, yes, that would have been what Marvel wanted to do. This is another thing you said. This is a Disney decision. This came from the top. They said, nope, we're cutting this right now because it's of the politics involved of it. But because it is specifically James Gunn, and we've already been here with him years ago, and it wasn't a problem then. And it's not like this is before Disney bought Marvel. No. Disney bought Marvel with Iron Man 2.
In 2010.
Yeah. And this happened 2 years later. So they should be entrenched in the Disney process by now. This would have had to go. Kevin Feige would have known about it, which means at that point he was still talking to Ike Perlmutter. He would have known about it. Then he goes to Alan Horn and then Bob Iger. They would have all known about this. They would have all known about it when it hit THR. Nothing happened. So, because we've already been through this, and nothing happened then, I could not fathom anything happening now. But here we are, where they fired him, and it's because just what the president said with James and himself, this is not a good look for Disney. Because it's like, well, why was he fine then, but he's not fine now, and if he's not fine now, you got a whole slew of stuff that you can find stuff wrong with now. And if politics is involved, if they want to, they can go dig it up on anybody they want. What are you going to do then? You going to kick out half of the people in there? I mean, we still... we have all these issues rolling around in Hollywood, like Me Too and all this stuff. If people want to dig into other people's past that have been like on big on Me Too, but then find out, hey, that guy that's big on Me Too that works for Disney, he's been doing it himself. You're gonna have to get rid of him too now? This is the precedent that you're setting.
Lasseter.
Yeah, I mean, and I say Me Too, and that's like, it should be a different thing.
Right.
But, you know, it's that same kind of vein. Like, I know, and people have brought, when this happened, people brought up Roseanne. Like, well, they fired Roseanne.
Yeah. Roseanne had a demonstrated pattern of 25 years. I mean, her last show on ABC got canceled because of her being a butt.
And she did this now, here in the now. Again, this isn't James Gunn making these tweets now. This is James Gunn making these tweets 5-6 years ago, and we've already moved past it.
We've already litigated this case.
Yes, it's already been done. So why are we back at it again? It's a false equivalency when you talk about Roseanne and all that kind of stuff.
Roseanne has 30 years of history of making statements that are either racially motivated or right-leaning.
Yeah, so, I mean, to end what I'm trying to say, now, I don't want to talk about the politics, but the politics play a big part in this. And it seems like this was Disney. They're trying to put out this fire. They've in turn made a bigger fire because now all of their, there's this uproar of people that are coming up to support James Gunn. The whole cast supports James Gunn. And now what you've done, you've taken this thing and you've shown those people that attack James Gunn, like, if we do this to anybody, we can get whatever we want. So
do not negotiate with terrorists.
Exactly. You just ignore them. If this little right-wing blog, if you just ignore him, the story goes away, he goes away. Now people know this douchebag's name, and if he wants to do something like that again, people are going to take notice because Disney flinched. And now Disney's got to deal with that if they ever come back for him for anything else. And then they got to deal with the people on this side that support James Gunn and have said that he's made his acts of contrition and that what he did was wrong, but he's a changed person. He should still be here. And now they've got to navigate that. If it were me, if it were me, we wouldn't be in this situation because I would have... When I sent you the message on Friday, like, there's all this stuff that's happened with James Gunn. It's really bad. I sent it to you. I stopped thinking about it. Why? Because I'm like, By Sunday, it's Comic-Con. It'll blow over.
It'll get buried underneath.
It'll get buried. They'll wait a few days after that. They'll make an official statement. Boom. We move over. This is, what, like a week later, and we're still talking about this?
10 days later, yeah.
It would be done. Nothing would have had to happen. Now, it's bad, but they probably need to hire him back. I mean, I don't think the cast will walk. However, this cast has been very vocal so far, so I wouldn't put it past them that they would. Let's not forget, they're not just messing with Guardians money at this point. The Russos have already said reshoots for Infinity War are starting in a couple weeks. You need them suckers back. So you're not just messing with a movie that's not even started yet that you can probably tinker with. You're messing with a movie that comes out in May, and they all play a major part in it. You have to do something to address them specifically. And you probably need to tuck your tails between your legs and like, we made the wrong decision. We gave in to this fear-mongering and terrorist actions of this stuff. And we apologize to James for firing. We still do not support what he says. And here's James making this. James is going to do this stuff. And here he is saying what he's got to say, and then move on. But you're never going to put, while it would have been a clean break beforehand, this will never be quite as clean, but it's probably going to be the cleanest they can do. And just to factor in all that, Marvel probably never wanted him to go in the first place. So there's that too.
The reason all the statements said Disney.
Yeah, it's straight. It didn't come from Kevin, it came from Alan Horn. Number two. Mm-hmm. Bob Iger's like, do it. Mm-hmm. So,
and let's not even talk about the fact that the Fox Marvel deal closed. The Fox Disney deal closed.
That's another thing. Like, you, Marvel wasn't even at Comic-Con, but the way the news cycle worked, they could have just ran away with it because because they had all this other stuff coming out, and they just caved. It was less than 6 hours where they're like, nope, we're just done.
I think the kid thing was a part of it. You know, the jokes about 3-year-olds peeing on you instead of a weak shower. I mean, look, they're bad jokes. They're offensive jokes, but they're, you know, not anything worse than someone who, you know, you go back and look at it, some of Eddie Murphy's stuff from the early 80s. You go back and watch Eddie Murphy Raw now, and there are jokes that are very uncomfortable for you to listen to.
Every time, like, watching stand-up comedy is a good litmus of what the time was then, to see what flew then and what will never fly now. Hell, I like Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker from 1999. That was the year I came here, so almost 20 years ago. I couldn't play that now for people. And he's not even that bad. There's like some good lines in there. I can't play that now because there's some stuff that is very problematic in there. And the further back you go, the more problematic it's going to be. That's, we're a society. We keep evolving. That's going to happen as long as people...
Comedy change, taste change.
As long as people progress with the times and the society we're in, that's just the natural evolution of it. So, I don't know, this is, there's a bunch of different angles to talk about the James Gunn stuff from.
So let's take one angle on it. Let's say they don't rehire him. They still want to hit that 2020 release date.
I don't think that's in question. They're going, it has to happen. So, how do they get there from here?
Who do they hire? Taika's name is going to be the first to come up, but he's busy making an Invisible Hitler movie, which is going to be problematic in and of itself.
Exactly. Taika's name has already come up, and I get why they do that, but much like I personally didn't know who James Gunn was before Guardians, there's plenty of guys that can do the same thing with. My only thing with hiring somebody else, I really think it should be somebody of color. And my chief reason for that is, part of my affinity for Guardians is my close ties with the music. And James is a white guy, and he picked all the music that really got to me. But I think if you're going to do that, most people think of black people for that kind of stuff anyway. You've got one black guy directing, bring another one in. Or a black lady. It needs to be somebody of color. If you're going to do that. If you bring in somebody of color, a lot of the people that support James will be like, it messed up, y'all fired him, but, you know, I'm going to go sit down and watch how this turn out. You're not going to please everybody, but there's going to be a large contingent of that that's going to be like, I'm good.
The problem there, Chad, is the fact that they weren't just making Guardians 3. Like, he was the key to at least 3 or 4 other movies they were going to do. And especially in a post-Avengers 4 landscape. And, you know, he'd already turned in the rough draft script, the third draft script, Memorial Day weekend. They'd already started building sets down in Atlanta. They were aiming to shoot November, December, January area. He was the future. And you can bring a guy in to do a shooter, a Ron Howard, and shoot one movie. It's not a problem. The issue is going forward for a Rocking Root spinoff, for a Ravagers movie, for a Adam Warlock movie. Like, those were all James's ideas and James's perception. And these characters are inherently James Gunn because he's the one who has wrote the last two. My personal thing will again be Perlman. That Nicole Perlman needs to be hired if you want to go this route of being authentic to who the Guardians are for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I don't know what your plans are past that, if those completely change now, or what. If they don't hire him back, they need to hire her because she was the one who pitched it to him in the first place. She's the one who wrote the original drafts. He came in and, you know, fiddled around with it and made it his own and gave it his voice, but it was her who pitched Feige on the idea in the first place. So she has this idea and understanding of the characters. She's a woman. She should be hired.
Now, my thing with that is, has she directed anything?
See, but Greta had never directed before Lady Bird.
But it's Lady Bird and Guardians, two different animals. two completely different animals. Now, if you want to have her voice, because there's always, through this, I found out there was contention between the stories on how much was her script and Jane's script and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, there have always been those contentions, because Gunn's pretty much taken a leak on her. And basically, so, oh, I came in and I started from ground zero, from ground one. And the story that has always been consistent from the Marvel side has always been that she pitched Feige on the idea.
Yep.
She wrote the initial drafts. She came up with the story structure that showed them they could do this. Because remember, you have to go back to where we're talking about. Avengers hasn't come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pitching a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And she pitched it well enough for them to decide that they wanted to take the capital they just earned
and
spend it all on that.
Yep. I mean, I get it. I did not know that until all this happened, which, well, you know, that's a good thing that came out of this. I did not know.
And she's had a hand in Captain Marvel. She's had a hand. She had a big hand in Inside Out. She's written and been involved creatively in a lot of very successful films for you over the last 3 to 5 years.
So, for that, you know, I would get a little payback on James, and I'd have her fit, like, polish up his script. I just can't hand her directing. We don't even know if she wants to direct. Like, she might be comfortable just being a writer, and that's fine. But then you pair that with it. It cannot. If they don't hire James Gunn back, it cannot. It cannot be a straight white man that directs Guardians. It just cannot happen. So that is my only thing. If they don't hire her back, it cannot be a straight white man. They can bring her back, polish up the script, give you some kind of consistency, like some cohesion. She does know the characters. But bringing somebody else that is not a straight white man, I cannot stress that enough to do the movie. But again, if it were me, I'd bring back James. Now, to your point about the larger cosmic galaxy, if they don't hire her back, those plans come back in, and it's like, okay, boss screwed us. We got to start this all over again. So,
whatever's on the map through 2024 just changed a little bit.
Yeah, they know they've said they want to do more cosmic, but we know, and from their model, it has been what?
Two sequels
and an original. So we know. Just in the stratosphere.
We did this exercise a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So we know we have after Avengers 4, we have Spider-Man
Far From Home.
We're going to get Guardians.
In May 2020.
Then it was what? It's probably
Black Widow.
Black Widow's a good one. So that's an original one. It's probably Doctor Strange again. Then we'll probably get Black Panther the year after that. And then this is where everything gets fuzzy. We'll probably get another
Captain Marvel, maybe. That's 2022.
Yeah, it can be Captain Marvel sequel. And then whatever, and that original, I would say it could be cosmic, but we're doing Captain Marvel, so maybe we don't do cosmic on that one. Maybe we do something else. But what that would mean is, like, their original after that point will probably be something cosmic. Because after the Black Panther year, it's going to be another Spider-Man movie. Because they're going to come, Sony's going to be like, look, you got to be on like every other year, you got to be out there. So you probably get another Spider-Man movie there. We get another sequel of some sort. Maybe it's time to bring in some sort of Avengers movie. And then we got another cosmic. So if we're looking at it that way, they're like 4 years out from having to do a cosmic thing. So it's like, no, we want to do all these things. James was going to kind of spearhead some of these things. We're going to branch them out and all this stuff. Nope, bring it all back in. And let's focus on the ones we know we got coming. And we can start seeding off this cosmic stuff as it comes. And maybe we're not going to do as much cosmic stuff as we want. Because a year from right now, the true House of M is going to be official. And it's time to, like, I know they say we got all these plans and stuff, but I gotta imagine, the way Marvel has always talked about having all their characters under one roof, it has to be like a four-year-old that has no concept of money but knows what it is, and as soon as it touches their hand, it's gotta go. They don't care where they gotta spend it, they just gotta get it out their hands as soon as they can. I cannot, I cannot see Marvel officially getting the X-Men, Fantastic Four, and everything that comes with that back in their grubby little hands and be like, nope, we're not going to do nothing with them for like 5 years. Hell no! Like, I got the Avengers' greatest villain is back. I got Kang back. I got the greatest villain Marvel has, period. Dr. Doom back. I got the second greatest one, if you want to talk about. Got Magneto back. I got the first family that I can say, hey, Fox, wonder why you're in our business? Because you can't do what I can do with them.
Galactus.
You've got Galactus. There is no way on God's green earth that they're going 5-6 years without putting them. No. It might be 5-6 years before we get to the X-Men. But the rest of them characters, they popping up. Like, it's happening quick. The deal's going to be done with 2019? 2021? Something happened. I'll be 40 freaking years old, but something's going to happen.
We will see. You have to remember that Mr. Kimber is going to put out his Dark Phoenix movie, which may or may not be received well.
Who cares? At this point, it's... What do we do? What do we talk about Justice League for forever? It's just like, it's that thing we just had to get past? Dark Phoenix. We just had to get past you. And this is even better than Justice League, because Justice League just had to get past and just kind of, like... maintain, don't get torn up too much. This, you can float on by and then flush it. It's done. Forget.
So Chad, did are the authors of the book on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, were they on speed dial so they could be so those assholes could be brought to the back into the fold to edit the book so that they could be, I really hope it didn't go to press yet so they could squeeze this little bit in.
Oh, no, they're not at none of this. You gotta wait for the next.
Well, really, because I'm wondering, of the 100 people that they interviewed, did they interview Edgar? Did they interview Mr. Cornish there?
I mean, at some point? Yeah, probably. I mean, is it in the book? Hell no.
Yeah, what about Edward Norton? I mean, he's on the celebrity roast with Bruce Willis making jokes.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. But I've heard the jokes. Yeah, I've heard some of them.
Yeah, did they talk to them?
Oh, I can tell you without a doubt, unequivocally, they ain't talk to him. If they even tried, he'd look at it and laugh and turn it back over. Yeah, no.
Then it's an incomplete book on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, well, and it is an intellectually dishonest piece of material.
Then we gotta wait till Edward Norton gets really old and gray. And it's just
and he's
like,
making jokes about it. He's more than him and Edgar are gonna be more than happy to talk.
Yeah, he's making jokes about it now. But if you're gonna walk up to him like, I want to talk about this for like a book, he's gonna be like, no, I got nothing to say about them bastards, and walk away. So you gotta wait till he's like really old and like he sees the end.
They,
and like,
did they interview Liv Tyler?
Nah, they could interview her.
Did they interview Liv Tyler? What about Natalie Portman?
They probably interviewed her.
Natalie Portman. What about Alan Taylor? Did they talk to Alan Taylor?
He was at the photo shoot, the 10-year photo shoot. So yeah, they talked to him.
What about Patty? They go and talk to Patty?
Oh hell no, it didn't get far enough to talk to Patty.
Would you like to fill in the listeners in on what I'm talking about here?
If you've listened long enough, every now and then Brian will talk about how he wants to write the book of the Marvel Universe. So like 2 weeks ago, I saw this link. It was like, Marvel, the first 10 years, it's like two volume set of books. So, being the friend that I am, I just, you know, shared it. And this is the mild result of me sharing that link.
Indeed. It's okay. Kathleen Kennedy continues to produce news that I have to, that I can put into my book on the Star Wars universe. So, Chad, before we go, Carrie Fisher, a part of Episode 9, they started shooting today. Our thoughts on what they're going to do and how they're going to handle things.
So it seems they're using footage from episode 7.
Not in a lot of 7. They did a lot of reworking.
Yeah, so I don't know how much footage they have to work with. So she's not... there's no way she's in the movie a lot. But they said they weren't going to use CG. And they said they weren't going to replace her. I think they said they weren't going to replace her. So this is their workaround for that. To give her, the best send-off possible using footage from 4 years ago. I was shocked to see that news. that was the most shocking part of it. I didn't really pay attention to anything else because there's nothing else to know right now. But except they did say in the press release the end of the Skywalker saga, which struck me because I never thought they would officially end this one. I thought it might go on hiatuses.
It makes sense because there's only one Skywalker left.
Yeah. And people have gotten hung up on them saying this is the end of the Skywalker saga. And then I'm saying, well, they said we're going to get more Rey and more Poe and more Finn, and how we're going to do that if we're ending the saga right there. No. Just
take the saga of the Skywalker family.
Take them at their words. So that means from this point on, anything we get, any sagas we get are going to be signed Skywalker. So no more Vader, no more Luke. And that will presumably be...
No more Leia or Han, and no more
Kylo. No more Kylo. But everybody else, even Chewbacca, I would imagine is fair game.
It brings us to the point of understanding that, he's the last one. This series, if you could argue it, has been about him and his evolution. And so it would make sense that there would be some resolution to his character at the end of episode 9.
It also means to me that anybody hoping that JJ was going to come in and retcon Rey being somebody being linked to them, I think that's out the window. I think this is it.
And, Ryan had talked to them about Rey's parents being potters in the field, and JJ said he kind of had the same idea. They're starting to film, which means there's another Star Wars movie on the way. So that'll about do it for this week's episode. If you want to keep up with this podcast, as I'm an unemployed author now, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at BCW Tiger Fan.
I'm at The Mets Theory.
Once again, T-Bob Hebert has refused to take up my challenge for a wing-eating competition. Dang, I forgot about that. He needs to take that up so that I can continue to prove my dominance, but also... reaffirm my love for all things Pepper Potts.
Please, T-Bob, in Pepper Potts.
So, all right. Thank you very much, and have a pleasant evening.